In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, the Sunday of the prodigal son, as we've just read from Luke 15. And it's one of, in my personal opinion, it's one of the most beautiful passages in the Gospels. It's beautiful because we can all relate to it, to the point that many people forget that it's a parable, and they even believe it's a real story because they relate so much and feel how much they can connect to it, and so they feel it's their own story and they feel that it's real. Because who here doesn't sin? Who here doesn't have weaknesses? Who here doesn't fall short, knowingly or unknowingly? But before we get into that, I'm just going to discuss three quick points today. I'm going to discuss the concept of quickly, the repentance and contrition of heart. I'm going to discuss the idea that we need to do so immediately. And finally, the not to despair, but to always have hope. But before we get to that, in Luke 15, verse 2, so a few verses before this parable, the Pharisees and scribes, it says, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then the Lord proceeds by giving the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and now the parable of the prodigal son. The Lord is answering the scribes and Pharisees and saying, "Yes, I came for the sinners. Yes, I came to sit with them. Yes, I came because I love them and I want to be with them and I'd want them to be with me at all times." And so this message, the fact that the Lord gives these three parables right after the scribes and Pharisees say this to him, comforts us, gives us hope. Because Christ basically is telling each and every one of us, this is a life of repentance. Our life has been given to us. St. Isaac the Syrian says, our life has been given to us for repentance. Do not waste it in vain pursuits. So I'll repeat it. This life has been given to us for repentance. Do not waste it in vain pursuits. Very often we get distracted by the cares of the world and what society offers us. We get busy with whatever it may be, our honor, our pride, our social status, buying cars, buying houses, buying this and that. And maybe each and every one of these things is not wrong in and of itself. But when our focus becomes these things and we get distracted by them and we forget about eternity and we forget to focus on eternity and our salvation, then this is where we become like the prodigal son. Does anyone know what prodigal means? So we read this passage every year, and maybe each of us reads it several times in their homes. Anyone know what prodigal means?
Lost.
What else? Wasteful is what it means. Wasteful. So St. Isaac the Syrian says, do not waste it in vain pursuits. When we waste our lives in vain pursuits, we are living prodigally like the prodigal son. And so it's a reminder from St. Isaac and the Gospel today that we shouldn't busy ourselves with these vain things, but we need to focus on eternity. And we need to realize that each and every one of us needs to examine himself daily. Each and every one of us needs to see where our sins are. You may say, oh no, I'm not like the prodigal son. I don't go and waste my money and my goods, and I don't go ask my father for money and so on, and I don't go spend it on harlots and all that stuff. Sure, but every time we commit a sin, every time I speak about somebody, I separate myself from God. Every time I get angry, I separate myself from God. Every time I judge, I separate myself from God. Every time I focus on the world and its glory or money or whatnot, I separate myself from God. And so we separate ourselves from God many, many times. If not throughout the day, then at least throughout the week or the month or the year. And that's why many of the saints considered themselves sinful and considered themselves as if they haven't had time to offer repentance. Avashishoy was a great desert monk. He lived in the area of the St. Anthony Monastery in Egypt, in the Red Sea. And when he was near death on his deathbed, his disciples were around him, and they saw him moving his lips as if he was talking to somebody. So they asked him, "Father, who are you talking to?" And so he said, "The angels have come to take my soul, and I am begging them to give me just one more week in order to offer repentance. And they said to him, Father, you want to offer repentance for what? You've lived a righteous life. We've been with you all these years. We've seen your works. He said, believe me, brothers, I do not even know if I have begun to offer sincere repentance. So this great saint, desert father, felt like he hadn't even begun to offer repentance yet. And yet many of us ignore this idea of repentance. And even sometimes we do like the prodigal son. He begins a sin, we begin a sin, and we go deeper and deeper into it because we feel like, okay, you know what? If I'm going to get punished, might as well enjoy what I'm doing. Might as well do it right, kind of thing, you know? But we need to wake up, and we need to ask the Lord to show us our sins. It's a gift from God for us to know our sins. St. Isaac the Syrian says, it is a spiritual gift from God for a man to perceive his own sins. Because when we realize our weaknesses, we are able to change. We are able to ask for mercy. We are able to come to our senses. We are able to see where the hunger is, like the prodigal son. It says he was hungry, and he came to himself. Coming to our senses is what we need to do. Coming to ourselves like he did. But in order to come to ourselves, we need to sit with ourselves. We need to analyze. We need to see what's going on, what's wrong with us. In order for us, one of the beauties we said is that it's a gift from God for us to see our sins. And when we do so, we present our weaknesses to Him. And St. Mark the Ascetic says one of the great things when we do present our weaknesses to Him, he says, no one is as good and kind as the Lord is, for He does not forgive one who does not repent, but anyone who repents is forgiven. As soon as we repent, the Lord forgives us. And so, just like the prodigal son, as soon as we repent, we come to ourselves and we return to the Father welcomes us. When we read today, it says that he was looking from far off and he ran to him. Who ran to who? The Father ran to the Son, not the other way around. The Father runs to the Son and it says he fell on his neck. If you try to picture this, how did he fall on his neck? I mean, did he just trip over him and fall on his neck? There's a very beautiful painting by one of a great artist from a few centuries ago. And he portrays the prodigal son and his father. And he shows how the father is hugging the son so tightly that you see the hands, like the nerves in the hands popping out and whatnot. Because of how tightly the father is welcoming, like hugging the son and welcoming him into his embrace. And so he's hugging him so tight that His head is on the neck of his son. So he runs to him and hugs him so tightly that he falls on his neck and kisses him. And so when we return to the Father, truly return, we find joy because he embraces us and comforts us with this wonderful hug that is heavenly and spiritual. But in order to do so, we need contrition of heart. We need true contrition. Someone recently asked me, what is contrition? So we prayed in the Psalm 50, and someone asked me what is contrition, so I said, well, it's remorse, like sincere and complete remorse or regret. But then I looked into it a little more, and I found that the Latin root, the word is rooted in Latin, and the word in Latin is contritus, which means ground to pieces. So contrition of heart means I take my heart that is filled with sin, and I grind it to pieces. And I offer it to the Lord for Him to mold it according to what He sees fit. Contrition of heart. We need to have that. To go deep within, to see what's there and grind our hearts and offer it to the Lord. St. John Chrysostom says, groan after you have sinned. Not because you are to be punished. For this is nothing. So he's saying punishment is nothing. But because you have offended your master, one so gentle, one so kind, one who loves you so much and longs for your salvation as to have given his son for you. On account of this, groan. And I ask myself, when's the last time I groaned? When's the last time we groaned? When's the last time we sincere, not groan because we eat too much food and our stomach hurts and we can't stand it and Khalas Siyam is going to be over in a few weeks, so it's okay. But it's a groan because of our sins. Groan because we see what's inside and we want to get rid of it. Groan because we are hurting or not, because we are offending our master. So this is the idea of contrition of heart. But we need to act now. When the prodigal son came to himself, he said, I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to arise, go to my father and say to him, Father, forgive me for I have sinned and so on. And then it says, and he arose. He didn't wait. He got up and he went. But sometimes we wait. Sometimes we feel like the Holy Spirit that is convicting us inside is like an alarm clock and we want to just press snooze. And we snooze and snooze and snooze to the point that we want to grab a sledgehammer and break that alarm clock. But we need to realize we can't do that with the Holy Spirit. We need to let Him convict us. We need to let Him wake us up. Saint Ignatius of Antioch says, repentance is finding our way back to God. We reconcile with Him, but we need to do it now. One of the desert fathers one time was fought with the thought, relax today. Repent tomorrow. And he said, no. I'm going to repent today and may the will of the Lord be done tomorrow. And so the time is now. St. Augustine, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, it's phrased differently in different translations, but one of the things he says, God has promised you forgiveness to your repentance, but He has not promised you tomorrow to your procrastination. So God has promised you forgiveness to your repentance, meaning if you repent today, now, He promises you forgiveness. But He has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination, meaning if you wait, He doesn't promise tomorrow will come. So today is March 12th, I think. March 12th exists. Nobody here can say March 13th will exist. Nobody here knows that tomorrow will exist. It's theory, and when it comes, then sure it's there if it comes. But we don't know it comes. And so the Lord doesn't promise us tomorrow, but He promises this moment for us to repent. There's a story I heard from a priest recently about Abuna Yusuf Asad. So many of you, I'm sure, know him. I don't know much about him. I've just heard some of his liturgies, but... So Abuna Yusuf Asad one time had a member in his congregation who wasn't coming to the church. And so he tried to get him to come to the church, went after him time after time after time. And nothing worked. One night, Abuna returns late to his apartment and he's really tired and he's about to rest. And one of the servants from his church comes and knocks and he's like, Abuna, come quickly. He's like, what is it? He's like, remember servant, the man so-and-so that you've been trying to bring? He needs to see you immediately. So he says to him, why now? It's late. Tell him tomorrow morning. I'll see him in church. He says, no, Abuna. He says, immediately, he needs to see you. So Abuna says, okay. And if this is what he wants, then I'll do it. So he goes to his place. And as soon as the man sees Abuna, he starts to cry. And he repents of all his sins and confesses everything he's ever done. And Abuna listens to his confession. At the end of the confession, Abuna absolves him, prays the absolution over him. And once this is done, the man drops dead. Right there. Somehow God put it in this heart's man that the time is now. If he had delayed, then... Yeah. So we need to act now. Don't waste time. Be like the prodigal son, not in being wasteful, but in returning. Finally, the third point is to always have hope. So we said the first point is we have to realize the importance of repentance and contrition of heart. Second point is to act now. The third point, hope. The devil comes to us before a sin. St. John Climacus says this, St. John Chrysostom says this, many saints say it. The devil comes to us before a sin, says, Yalla Habibi, it's okay. Go and sin. God is merciful. God will forgive you. Don't worry. And so, he deceives us. And sometimes we fall into that trap and we go and sin. Once we've fallen into the sin, he comes back to us and says, who do you think you are? You think you're going to stand before God and pray? You think he will accept you? God is just. And he throws us into the pit of despair. That's why it's important to remember certain verses to encourage us, certain stories that encourage us. For example, Micah chapter 7, verse 8, it says, do not rejoice over me, my enemies. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. So when the demons come with their darkness, I call upon the Lord of lights for life and light. And he gives me light. When I fall, I get up. One time a monk was asked, what do you do in the monastery? He said, we fall and we arise. We fall and we arise. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. The righteous man falls seven times. So the righteous person is the person that falls but gets up. This is what makes saints. St. John Climacus says, do not be surprised that you fall every day. Do not give up, but stand your ground courageously. And assuredly, the angel who guards you will honor your patience. And so it's not surprising that we fall, but we need to struggle, we need to fight, we need to get up. St. John Saba, the spiritual elder, Sheikh al-Rohani, he says, many years of the devil's hard work is lost in one moment of repentance. So the devil tries to push us in that pit of despair so we don't repent, because he knows all his hard work of all these years goes to waste in one moment of repentance. There's a story about St. Macarius. One time he's sitting in the desert, and there's a community of monks that lives not far away. And so he sees the devil passing by. And so he asks, where are you going? To the devil. And the devil says, I'm going to visit those monks. And St. Macarius asks him, why do you have... He had like pots and different things in his hands to offer to the monks. He says to him, why do you have all these things? He said to him, because I offered them one thing. If they don't like it, I offered them the next. If they don't like the next one, I offered them the third. So St. Macarius asked him, and do they fall for this? And he said, no, except for one. One of them is my friend, and he has been my friend for a very long time. So when St. Macarius inquired on who he was, he found out, and he went to that community of monks and asked for this monk, and he sat with him. So he asked the monk, how is it with you, brother? How are things going? And so he told him, everything's fine, father. And so St. Macarius realized this monk is not able to reveal his thoughts. And so he said to him, my son, you see, I am in my old age and I'm still fought with the thoughts of lust and fornication. And so when he heard this, the brother said, me too. And then St. Macarius started to list other sins, one after another. And the brother kept saying, me too. And so by doing this, by being such a great father, St. Macarius enabled this monk to confess and to open up and reveal all his thoughts. So soon after, St. Macarius again is sitting in the desert and he sees the devil passing by upset. So he asks him, why are you upset? He says, I went to the monks again and none of them received me. St. Macarius asked him, what about your friend? He said, not even him. He's the toughest of them all now. Revelation of thoughts is very important. When we reveal our thoughts, we defeat the demons. When we reveal our thoughts, the Lord protects us. The demons flee. And we are freed from their grip. And so we have to have hope in that, that when we reveal our thoughts, any sort of sin can be overcome. But we need to be regular in revelation of thoughts and confession. Quickly, another story that I love. It always puts a smile on my face. There was once this brother who, it's in the conferences of St. John Cassian, first or second conference, I don't remember, but this brother who used to sit with his elder every day at 3 p.m. to eat at the ninth hour. So they're sitting together, and at the end of every meal, the elder gives him a biscuit, you know, as, you know, something good to eat. So imagine somebody gives you a cookie, not a big deal, okay. So the disciple used to love this biscuit. So whenever the elder wasn't looking, he would snatch a few more and put them in his pockets. And he'd go to his cell and devour them. And then after he'd eat it, he would be so upset and regret it. But he couldn't go to his elder and tell him, I'm stealing and I'm eating more and so on. And yeah, we can look at it, it's a silly sin, but he was doing it. And he couldn't overcome it. And then one day, the elder is sitting with a number of younger monks, and the disciple is with him. And the elder is talking about gluttony and revelation of thoughts. And so as he's speaking about these topics, at first, the disciple realizes, maybe my elder knows something. And he starts to sigh. And then he starts to cry, and then he starts sobbing like a baby. And he's crying. And so the elder's like, what's wrong? And so he tells him the whole story. And as soon as he told him and confessed, the elder told him, do you smell what's going on? There was a stench in the room. And he told him, this smell is a sign from God that the devil has left, and he will not attack you with the sin again. But revelation of thoughts is protecting you. And so we have to have hope that we can overcome our sins and that the Lord forgives when we reveal our thoughts. St. John Sabas says, repentance transforms even adulterers into virgins. We used to have signs, we do have signs in the monastery of different sayings of the fathers, and this was one of our favorites. Repentance transforms adulterers into virgins. Of course, not physically, but spiritually. Transforms. Everything is erased. And so this gives us hope. We need to sit with ourselves, examine ourselves, as the prodigal son did, so that we can return, or we can wake up, come to ourselves, and have the Holy Spirit convict us. And the Holy Spirit can convict us through readings, through our quiet time, through prayer, through people. A little kid can say something to me, and it may be from God. And so we need to realize that the Holy Spirit can work in many ways and He can convict us of sin. But we need to sit with ourselves and repent. We need to ask forgiveness from God by returning to the Father and by going to confession, revealing our thoughts. And if you are unable to repent for whatever reason, then at least pray to God that He may give you the spirit of repentance. And for the rest of the liturgy today, let us try, picture this. If this projector was projecting all your sins, each and every one of you, and everyone's watching it, what would you think? I could only say, Lord, have mercy. And this is what we do during the entire liturgy. We keep saying, Lord, have mercy. But let's pray it sincerely. Let's say, Lord, have mercy with heart, with conviction, that He may have mercy on us. There will be no need for anyone to come and say, shut off your phone, don't text, don't do this, don't do that, if we're focused on our sins and realizing that we are standing in the presence of God, and glory be to our God forever. Amen.